This video will cover the fourth and the last of the TOCAF core areas, namely Architecture Capability Framework. The Architecture Capability Framework, in short, covers the organizational structures, processes, roles, responsibilities, and skills to realize architecture function. This figure shows the overview of components that should be in a mature architecture capability. In the middle left are the architecture professionals who possess different skills and knowledge and are assigned with different roles and responsibilities. The roles and responsibilities can be generic, such as enterprise architect, business architect, information systems architect, data or information architect, technology architect, or they can be specific to a particular project, for example in case of solution architects. The architects form a skilled resource pool who further develop their skills by working and cooperating in architecture-related assignments or by educating themselves either formally or informally. The formal education may include, for example, taking courses aimed at gaining certifications. On the right side of the resource pool are the development projects and portfolios, as well as the project and portfolio governance activities. The architects also participate in both of these. The projects and portfolios are governed against their contracts. Contracts are the joint agreements between development partners and sponsors on the deliverables, quality, and fitness for purpose of an architecture. Traditionally, the architecture contract is an agreement between the sponsor and the architecture function or IS department. However, increasingly more services are being provided by systems integrators, applications providers, and service providers such as cloud service providers, which are then coordinated through the architecture function or IS department. There is therefore a need for an architecture contract to establish joint agreements between all parties involved in the architecture development and delivery. These architecture contracts may occur at various stages of the architecture development method. For example, the statement of architecture work would be created in the phase A of ADM, that is the architecture vision. And at the beginning of phase G, which is the implementation governance, there would be a contract between the architecture function and the function responsible for implementing the enterprise architecture defined in the preceding ADM phases. Typically, the latter function would be either the in-house systems development function or a contractor to whom the work is outsourced. Projects then populate the architecture repository and, on the other hand, reuse building blocks found in the enterprise continuum. Try to recall what we talked about building blocks in the enterprise continuum video. On the right-hand side, there are business operations to which projects deliver aligned implemented solutions. Business operations also participate in defining the focus and setting the priorities for the development projects by the project and portfolio governance. On the top of this picture are organization-level governance bodies that direct the development of architecture resource pool, set priorities and focus the portfolio governance, and measure the success of the development projects. The Open Group advises to use the ADM in establishing the architecture capability, starting with the project vision. However, they emphasize that this should not be seen as a phase of an architecture project or a one-off project, but rather as an ongoing practice that provides the content, environment, and resources to govern and enable architecture delivery to the organization. The Open Group continues that implementing the architecture capability, like any capability within an organization, will require the design of the four architecture domains: business, data, application, and technology. First, the business architecture of the architecture practice will highlight the architecture governance, architecture processes, architecture organizational structure, including different role and responsibilities, architecture products, etc. Then, during the data architecture phase, the contents and the structure of organization's enterprise continuum and architecture repository are defined. The application architecture phase would be used for specifying the functionality and/or application services required to enable the architecture practice, and so on. I will not go through the entire ADM cycle here to save the time, so pause the video here and read the slide by yourself. This slide exemplifies different roles that typically are included in the EA capability, at least in the large organization. You may refer back to the ITSM roles and responsibilities video. The same applies for the EA-related roles. The smaller the organization, the more few, the more cores, and more combined the roles may be. However, typical roles in large AI capability are architecture sponsors, architecture board members, enterprise architecture manager or principal or head enterprise architects for business or business architects, data architects, application architects, technology architects, and program or project managers, and finally, IT designers. This list is missing some roles like security architects and solution architects, which in many cases are regarded belonging to the EA capability. Then there is a list of skills required in the enterprise architecture practice. Generic skills like leadership, team working, and interpersonal skills. Business skills and methods like business cases, business processes, strategic planning. Enterprise architecture skills like modeling, building block design, applications and role design, and systems integration. Then program or project management skills like managing business change, project management methods and tools. General IT knowledge skills like brokering applications, asset management, migration planning, and service level agreements. Then technical IT skills like software engineering, security, data interchange, and data management. And skills, very important skills related to legal environment of the organization, like data protection, contract law, procurement, and fraud related issues. Finally, in the slides, there are different proficiency levels for skills. The basic level, marked with yellow color, which in practice means that certain skills are not required in a role per se, but if necessary, the person working in a role should be able to define and manage the skill. The awareness level, marked with green, means that the person working in a role should be able to understand the background of a skill and knows how to proceed further and advise client accordingly. Proficiency on knowledge level, marked with bluish-purple color, gets more serious already. At this level, a person has detailed knowledge of the subject area and is capable of providing professional advice and guidance. He or she is also able to integrate the capability into architecture design. Finally, the red expert level implies extensive and substantial practical experience and applied knowledge of the subject. Now here is one interpretation how the previous roles, skills and proficiency levels are mapped. For example, from a person working in program or project manager role, expert level skills related to business analysis and project management are expected, but also at least knowledge level from the other capabilities are required as well. As you can see, according to this table, which is not done by me, all the different architect roles in the middle would require quite high proficiency levels on all the areas. Personally, I wouldn't say that application architects must have that high level business related skills if there is also a dedicated business architect role with whom the application architects can cooperate with. I won't go through all the details, so again, I recommend that you pause the video for a minute. Notice that for the architect board members and architect sponsors, it is sufficient to have basic level or awareness level proficiency for almost all skills and capabilities related to the EA practice. Finally, this figure shows an example structure for the enterprise architecture governance. There are three areas for the architecture work. First, in the architecture planning and the development area, the architecture board, which is a group of experts from different domains and business areas, gives substance and domain requirements and priorities for the chief architect who guides the enterprise architects. The enterprise architects guide the work of the solution architects. They give solution architects architecture requirements, work packages, standards, and such, which solution architects adhere to when planning the implementation projects and when working in those projects. The architecture implementation projects belong to the implement area of this model. Also, the program management office or project management office, PMO, is located in this area. The PMO guides the implementation projects and aligns the development projects with the architecture board. Then the third area of this model is called deploy. This is where the implementation projects' results turn into operational systems and services, which are then managed and monitored by the services management unit. So as you can see, this deploy box in this figure is the other half of this course. And this is also our first contact with the attempt to connect ITSM, IT operations, and enterprise architecture. We will come back to this topic later in this course. This ends the lectures on four core areas of TOCAF, namely architecture development method, architecture content framework, enterprise continuum, and architecture capability framework.